Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide. Or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
Wake up!
Wake up!
Mike Mulligan, David Haw.
Very curious to get your opinion of this. When you look at what Jed has done thus far, do you feel that an extension, that he has deserved an extension? Will he be back in his role?
I don't really want to speculate on any of that.
Not only do I think he will be back in his role, I think he deserves to be back in his role. And I think that if the Cubs were proactive and smart about this, they would get this done sooner rather than later.
I can't talk about free agency.
And all it needs is a signature, or maybe it's already been signed. But I do think that Jed Hoyer...
Maybe Jed has it in his underwear drawer and just hadn't signed it yet.
Come on.
Stay out of their drawers. As much drama or uncertainty about whether or not he is going to walk at the end of this year, I don't think if they let him get to the end of the year, his family is here, I don't think that's going to be an issue. It makes sense for him to stay.
Start your mornings with Mully and Haw, 5:30 till 10 a.m. on 670 The Score.
Jed Hoyer... His security could actually help make a statement to Kyle Tucker.
With the huge feet.
Pete Crow Armstrong.
Blue-haired kid.
Guys who you want to negotiate long-term deals with, that this is a stable place to be, and Jed is going nowhere. I think that might be something to keep in mind.
Let's go.
Forgot about the big feet. Thank you for that reminder, Brandon Pryor. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. That was some very funny stuff from Pat Murphy, but I had forgotten about the big feet. Had you?
I had forgotten, too. Good morning, Mully. Happy Thursday. Nice little intro from Brandon Fryer, always delivering. And big night in Chicago baseball. Cubs disappointing, didn't score. The White Sox came back. But not enough.
Yeah. Disappointing in our baseball teams, but man, the Stanley Cup finals delivered.
Glad you brought it up.
Well, I mean,
glad you mentioned that.
Big moment. So we got the NBA finals on tonight. You just can hope for the same, I suppose.
You hope that there's as much drama in game one of the NBA finals as there was in the Stanley Cup final, but I doubt it. Mm-hmm. I doubt it. I think Oklahoma City is going to make this pretty one-sided tonight. Last night, not the case. Up in Edmonton, Oilers fall behind 3-1. And at that point, The Florida Panthers are
the machine.
The machine, the model of consistency, because
they
protect leads. Yep. And 31 times previously, before last night, when they had a lead in the after the second period, I believe, after the first and second periods, they won the games. Not last night, not so fast.
Yeah, it was really an incredibly exciting game. They come back and they win the game in OT. And, I mean, we all know, and doesn't matter what the sport is, you win a first game of a championship series, you're well on your way. That is a big deal, especially one that you looked like you were going to be hard-pressed to come back. It was difficult enough to get a draw out of that, let alone to win it in OT. So huge, huge momentum turner,
huge potentially
statement. For Edmonton.
Sam Bennett for the Panthers scored two goals, and I thought he was going to get the hat trick in overtime and win. But that was a testament to a team that just refused to lose. And Connor McDavid coming into this year's final after last year's disappointment.
Right.
You wonder how driven he is. You don't have to wonder. You saw last night, Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl, they dominated that game.
Yeah.
And they may not have the goaltender that they feel like they trust. Not everybody trusts in hockey. They don't have the depth that Florida has, but they may have the ingredients. Who knows? The good news is
star power.
They do have star power, and they did come back and win an OT. That's the good news. The bad news is it ended about 10:40.
Yeah, yeah.
And I stayed up to watch.
Yeah, that was a bit much.
But I could turn it off.
Yeah, the problem is not this morning and how you're feeling and how you're all.
Yeah, I know.
It's tomorrow.
It is.
Just, you know, now if you're Indiana Pacers, put on a show.
Oh, my gosh.
You got problems.
I'll be popping that popcorn watching. Go away, way to go, Tyrese. Yes. Another batch. Yeah, I don't know if that's going to happen tonight. We'll see. What time do the Cubs play today?
I think it's
5 o'clock.
The Sox are early. The Cubs have been early all week.
Sox are early. I know that because I have extended duties. Yeah. I think that's – I always like these early Sox games because it means a little bit earlier.
Is
off
it
the
1
air.
O'clock or 1:40 or something? What is it?
For the White Sox?
They're early.
White Sox.
I mean, fairly early. I think it's an afternoon game, isn't it? Anybody? No?
Well, the White Sox are, let's see here, Wednesday afternoon. Tim Melko's back, and 1:10 first pitch at Wright Field.
Yeah. Wow. How about that? That's quick.
The site of the Papal Mass on June 14th.
That's right.
Got to mention that.
We got to get that one going.
We got to get. I know a guy who knows a guy.
I know a guy.
Got to get you in. That's a commitment. I'm committed to trying hard to getting you in there.
I got to do a reading or something. I'll sneak in.
Well, you know, Swerve.
Sneak in with a Bible. Yeah, I'm upset.
You could be the lector for the first reading.
No, that's okay. I wouldn't want to do anything in front of people. I do it to myself. I like to read.
Yeah.
I like to read.
You're well read.
Thank you, buddy. Yeah.
No doubt about that. But yeah, last night was kind of fun because, you know, I simultaneously am enjoying the NHL Stanley Cup Final, and I don't apologize for that. But I also lament the fact that hockey's almost over.
Well.
I enjoy it with my son. I enjoy that conversation. Yes. I'll enjoy the back and forth. And, you know, the end of the year is upon us. But this is going to be a great series. I really believe it could go seven, and it likely will. And
what do you say? How about road trip? Friday night in Edmonton.
I would go.
How long does that drive take?
I don't know. Let's do the map quest.
Too long.
Too long. I think I'd fly.
Yeah, I think you'd have to.
If he told me, if you know how this is the way we used to live sometimes. It's like, okay, it's Thursday. Can you be in Edmonton Friday night to cover that game?
Let's go.
Let's go.
Yeah, no
All right.
Problem.
Travel agent, boom. Hotel, boom. Then you worry about rest later. It would be fun to try to match that and meet that deadline.
Agree. I think it'd be a ton of fun.
Some days I miss those nights.
Yeah. Well, you know, not all the time.
Not all the time. No, I just sometimes.
Sometimes a little bit.
Sometimes, you know, just get the juices flowing a little bit.
One of my favorite ever, I was at home. I think I've told you this story. Someone was taken ill, and I'm sitting at home getting ready to watch Illinois against Arizona.
Molly,
might have been in the tournament.
Yes.
Phone rings.
Yeah.
Like, hey, can you? You're not far from it. No.
No.
I'm there. I'm on the way. Like
Allstate Arena.
I love stuff like that.
Allstate Arena. You showed up. Who'd you sit next to?
Who did I sit?
Who'd you sit next to?
I sit next to you.
You don't remember that?
I have.
I can't believe that.
I do not recall.
It's like I wasn't even there. Just a prop in your play.
Did we sit next to
we
each other?
We sat next to each other during the 2005.
Yes, because you said to me, what are you doing here?
It's like, what are you doing here?
Someone's sick.
I was covering that for the Tribune. That. You show up for the Sun-Times.
It was a great game.
Didn't expect to see you here.
It was unbelievable.
Is Lovie Smith here? Why are you here?
It was like out of nowhere. I literally get a phone call with like whatever. It's like you got 20 minutes to get there for the pregame.
But I remember sitting next to you when that historic comeback happened.
Oh, it was incredible.
And it's one of those things where you do remember the details of special events that you cover like that. And so I remember us both mouths agape like,
yeah.
Did you see what D. Brown just did? Did you see Darren Williams hit
well,
that?
Well, Darren Williams yes. went off in that game, as I recall.
Yeah, he did.
He was really good.
That's fun, though. Those are kind of fun memories.
I was just having fun. So I was putting some stuff together. I didn't have a ton of work to do. They were trying to take it easy on me. I went over and talked to the Arizona kids just out of snorts and giggles just because I felt like, well, I got tons of time to write. I got hours. You know, why mm-hmm. not just enjoy the afternoon? Man. That is such difficult stuff when you know, losing teams, locker rooms are difficult, but young people in a, you know, like guys finishing up
the finality
their career,
of it.
Oh,
the finality of it can be very jarring. It
can be stunning.
And emotional.
Especially the way that game went.
I hate to say it, those are the best stories sometimes.
Oh, they're great stories.
Because the loser's locker room, yes. that's where everything yeah. seems to, you know, just unfold. Just there's a visceral reaction to the end of the road.
And you try to lift people up. You're just like, hey, what are you losers? How do you feel? How do you losers feel?
How do you losers feel? How are you going to recover from this catastrophic blow to your ego and life? Go.
Go. Yeah. Talk about the old talk about questions.
Talk about this. Talk about that. So the Cubs did not have enough. We're going to talk about that because the lineup construction and they can have nights like that, right?
Yeah.
They're going to have nights like that. They're going to face tough lefties.
Listen, that guy, that Mackenzie Gore pitched his arse off.
He is good.
Because you know what? So did the Cubs. They got Matthew Boyd pitched a really good baseball
game.
Went
into the eighth inning for the first time in 5 years.
And he also went through almost six with a perfect game.
Oh, my gosh. I was watching that.
Yeah. And call your sons, call your daughters.
It was one of those things. Are you watching history? Will they keep – I started thinking, will they keep him in the game? If Craig Counsell keep him right. in the game if he's no-hit right. after seven or eight because of his pitch count, because of the Tommy John surgeries? He's coming back.
Yes.
He's piling up the innings as well.
Yes, he is.
And he's been as consistent as any pitcher they've thrown out there in the starting rotation.
That was really well-pitched game, both sides.
That's baseball, though, isn't it? You have the best offensive yep. baseball.
Yep.
You go out to Washington. You don't expect to get shut out. It's only the third time it's happened this year. But give credit to Gore because he recovered after a shaky start, puts the first three hitters on base, and the Cubs have the bases loaded, nobody out, and you're thinking, here we go again, on the way to eight runs.
That, I mean, I got to tell you, then like about four innings later, you're like, they should have done a double steal. Like, you're just kind of like, are they ever going to be in that position again?
Pat Hughes often says in early in games that this could be the moment that the game turns on. This could be the turning point.
Yes,
and
yes.
You had it. I don't think you had that sense. I felt like when they had the bases loaded and didn't score, well, they're going to get to him because he must not have it tonight. And
they got the bases loaded with no outs.
I know, in the first inning.
In the first inning. Holy cow.
Okay.
They are the 1-1. Warner hits a little pop fly foul over toward the stands, and this is caught by Lowe, and the Cubs do not score. They had the bases loaded with the 4, 5, and 6 hitters coming up, and nobody could come through.
Can I just make a point right now that is
make it.
One of these things that just...
Plant that flag.
Okay. I'm not planting a flag. It's just throwing it out there. Do you know who was on deck? The hottest hitter in the lineup from the night before. Michael Busch batting seventh.
So you think if the lefty against the lefty had happened in the first inning,
I think
it would have been a lot different than it ended up being with the 0-for-3 against the left-handed pitcher.
I don't think that Michael Busch batted seventh the night before. I don't think that he batted seventh typically with a right-hander on the mound. And when he batted seventh, because the left-hander was on the mound, because you don't trust him against lefties, he wasn't at the plate with the bases loaded and nobody out, or one out, or two outs. He wasn't at the plate at all because the three hitters after you loaded the bases went down.
So yeah, Carson Kelly has not been knocking the snot out of the ball lately. So Carson Kelly batting third last night. And again, I didn't look up Carson Kelly versus lefty splits, which I'm sure they did. I did not.
It stood out to me as well.
I was happy and relieved that our guy, yeah, Michael Bush, was able to bat, but I did find it curious. Okay, I'm going to give you this, Cub fans. It almost felt like that. Like, all right, I don't want to hear about it anymore.
But I'm going to bat him seventh because he's a liability. Yep. And in that first inning, when they got out of it without scoring a run, and Michael Bush on deck, the guy who hit almost for the cycle the night before, all I thought was, wow, I wish he would have been at the plate.
Do you know what's funny about that, though? Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying.
I'm being honest about my reactions here. That's fair. My feelings at the time.
You can be, like, you can give David a little, and he's going to want more. Dustin got an inch. He's desperate for the mile.
Right.
But it's like you put him in, but you didn't put him in the right spot.
had he
been in the six hole and he came up there with the bases loaded,
I'm sorry.
And he hit a weak grounder or he struck out or he had a fly out, I wonder what the conversation – I guarantee you it would never have come up this morning.
I didn't say it was a rational reaction. Okay. I just said it was an honest one. I don't want to – if I have that feeling, we'll talk about it. I have these reactions at the time where I think, okay, I need to make a note of that because. Mm-hmm. But then I thought at the time too, well, it's going to be a moot point if they could put three guys on the first inning.
Right.
He's shaky tonight.
They're going to be running all game. Yeah,
yes.
They're going to be on base all game.
Yes. I didn't expect to flip back and forth and all.
You didn't expect the shutout was coming.
They still haven't scored. It's the fifth inning.
Exactly.
What? It's the seventh inning.
But that's what happens is you get to like the sixth inning and you say, boy, they should have knocked those runs in. Yeah. Like you don't say, oh, you know, they couldn't get anything going. Wow, this guy's pitching a game. You're like, yeah, they had the chance. Why didn't they knock the run? If they only had moved Bush.
If they
up
only
in the
had
order.
Put Bush fifth or sixth in the lineup.
It's pretty funny.
And Carson Kelly lower, maybe they would be on top.
Carson Kelly
maybe.
Lower. Yeah.
But Matthew Boyd deserved better.
At least we got a villain.
We do have a villain.
It's his fault.
And then the Sox, I had written them off because they had the long delay. I felt bad for everyone out there at Wright Field. I felt bad for people working that game.
Oh, my God. That was awful. The Cubs game ended and the Sox game started. It was, like, ridiculous. And then they just immediately, it's like, it's bullpen night. Oh, it's beat up on the bullpen night. And you're sitting there like, oh, boy, this is not going to be worth staying up for.
No. No, but they...
Did you even check back as you watched your hockey? Once they went down.
Flipped back during one commercial break. During the break between...
Between the second and third?
And the third in overtime. Yeah. When I was debating on whether or not to stay up, and I knew I had no choice. So
there's always choice.
But you know what? I didn't want to turn on the Sox for too long because I thought I might fall asleep.
Well... And they came back.
They did come back.
I was very surprised when I saw that it was a closer game than expected.
I was more surprised when I saw they called up Tim Elko.
Oh, that was fun. That was a good thing. We got to get into that one because I think there are tentacles.
Yeah.
May I say? And I think that it's not so much about who they called up but who they didn't call up.
Well, that is very interesting.
We'll have to get into.
Yeah,
that
we'll get into that.
Bit.
Because that was intentional.
Or whether they're ever going to call up a guy. I mean, it's well worth wondering and asking about. So it was intentional, and it definitely was. It went noticed. It did not go unnoticed.
Tim Elko, 1-for-4 in his return to the White Sox lineup. He batted seventh, I believe. Mm. And
should have moved him up.
I think, I'm sorry, batted sixth.
Sixth, he would have gotten the grand slam.
Come on, am I the only one that thought that when the Cubs got out of that inning and Bush is standing on deck with the bat on his shoulder doing the Cubs no good? Does no good in the on deck circle.
You know what's funny? And it's just funny. It never occurred to me. But I wasn't looking at it that way. I was just really pleased that he was in the lineup and I felt I was waiting for him.
I was greedy.
I was waiting for him to hit.
I got a little greedy.
I wanted to make sure that I was camped out in front of it. You know, sometimes with baseball, I told you this, I noticed this when I covered baseball. I'd be at a baseball game, you know, there'd be people, you know, the pace of the game is such, and you'd be like, oh gosh, you know, you got to make sure you're going to get another cup of coffee, and you sit there and you'd be like, How did a guy get on third? There's two runs. Sometimes the game just moves at a pace.
Yeah.
Where it sneaks past you.
Thank goodness for.
And you got to go back and thank God for other people, and you can ask a couple questions.
Yeah, and all the apps can help you keep up and catch up. So.
But man, it's like you sit there and you got. It's like you're when you're charting something during a football game. You can't turn around.
You got to be in time. You got to be in tune.
Cow.
You got to be on top of things.
Yeah.
So Molly, another big story locally, and we should address this as much as we can. Just let people know because while they slept, NBC5 reported.
Here we go.
Chicago Sports Network expected to launch on Comcast Cable Friday on Xfinity's Ultimate Tier, and that is. We're going to confirm it later. I'm not here to confirm it for anybody. I do believe that some of the things in there, the details, I feel more comfortable getting confirmation about what tier and how much and all those things are important to people. I think the bottom line is if this is true and if every reason to believe that the basis of this, that basically CHSN will go on Comcast as early as tomorrow, it is a great day for that network.
Yes.
And for the people who have been working so hard behind the scenes, negotiating a deal and getting it done ultimately. So it is, I'm thrilled from a personal standpoint. I think professionally, this is a smart move for everyone, and it will be good for fans to be able to see all three of those teams that whose games are broadcast on that network.
Yes, that is great news. I told you I have a friend who I speak to, I used to speak to on a weekly basis, and he'd be like, hey, where is this? When's it? And I kept telling him because I was consulting with you. Oh, no, they're going to get it going. It's going to happen. And it never happened, and he stopped calling. So I got to reconnect.
You can reconnect, and I think that it will be more obvious and evident as the day unfolds, but this is a day that a lot of us have been waiting for a very long time and thought would come sooner rather than later. But nonetheless, it seems to be here, and tomorrow will be a big one. And we are on CHSN from 7 to 9 simulcasting, so I wonder if that will be one of the first programs.
Oh, wow.
On Comcast tomorrow. Yeah, wow. I think we should wear – we definitely
wear,
need to
– wear
what should we wear?
Wear
not the
shirt?
Same shirt.
No, a shirt.
We should wear a shirt. Yeah, definitely.
Could you get us all shirts, David?
Oh, CHSN shirts?
Yeah, why not?
Yes, I think that's a good idea. I think that's a good goal.
You know,
note to self.
Honestly, here's what you do. Get one for all of us except Dustin and just and then have
and
him.
I was about to say, this is why, though, because I heard through the grapevine, a little birdie told me that our friends at Obvious Shirts have picked up on my hot garbage stat, the quality start is hot garbage stat, and that they sent they were supposedly making t-shirts and sending them to the Cubs clubhouse about quality starts or hot garbage or something.
No way.
Along those lines. Yes.
You have inspired a t-shirt that is making its way to the Cubs clubhouse will be on the backs of Jameson Taillon.
There was some talking going on the afternoon show. About
listen,
that.
You have inspired a lot of hot garbage over the years.
Absolutely.
So.
Quality start? That was not a quality start. Hot garbage. That's what Jameson Taillon was.
Whoa.
Boy, he broke off.
I forgot the vitriol.
Three home runs.
Yeah.
Three home runs. That's not quality.
I
don't care if they're solos. I don't care if they're three runs. That's on you wear that. You gave them up. That is not three home runs does not equal quality start, period.
I think I supported you on that day. I got your back on this one.
Just on the one time I think you did.
There are moments. But I think that I think that was the time in the stretch. Jameson Taillon overall has been very good for the Cubs this year.
Yes.
He's been excellent.
Excellent, okay.
Yes. A little bit boring, but he's been excellent.
That's fine.
But when
boring
you give up
fine.
Five home runs within three quality starts.
Hold on. But remember, I backed you up. It was
seven
homers in 184 pitches.
No, it was
I think
seven.
That was the number.
And they
I
were
had
all
you back
solo.
There.
That, just so you know.
Yeah.
Here's
like
a suggested
that.
T-shirt. Seven home runs in 184 pitches equals quality start, ?
Oh, boy.
How about that?
I don't think we want to poke the
Dustin,
bear.
Dustin playing with his T-shirt design is not for air.
So does this mean yes or no you want a CHSN shirt?
Absolutely.
All right, good.
So and we should get one from Obvious Shirts, too.
Look at this. That'd be great. I mean, it's like Dustin demands a shirt. Brandon wants a wardrobe.
We just want a box.
We want a box. I know. You know I know. What? It's not on us.
I'll drop the gloves. Let's go. Let's
While we're begging and asking for things.
He doesn't mean. Honest to God, I'm getting in shape. I'm going to chop your ears off.
He means a box of clothes.
Wait a minute.
Not like the.
Not the sweet science. I was trying to get the jab going.
Not the sweet science. No. We don't talk boxing on this show. Only horse racing.
I forgot.
Could we rank them, David? Boxing,
all right.
Horse racing, yeah. And golf.
Oh,
used
boy.
Used to be the three kings of sports. Those are David's, the lowest three tiers.
Listen, you've got to play the hits.
Would you put NASCAR? Would you put auto racing?
I think it's in that, probably. I'm playing the hits. I listen to my radio godfathers, you know? They just say play the hits.
That's right.
I'm just trying to follow suit. That's all.
Yeah. Well, I think, if I'm not mistaken, the Triple Crown remains a hit. It's still a big sporting event.
I don't think it's great talk radio.
Oh, I disagree. And so does Edzo.
Oh, I know.
I believe we'll be talking.
Pucks and Ponies, 9 okay. o'clock tomorrow.
9 a.m.
Pucks and Ponies, third and final edition of Pucks and Ponies until next year.
Eddie was outstanding last night, by the way.
Yes, he was.
He was outstanding in that game.
Always.
And I stayed up for the last call, the way that they describe what happened and how it happened. Yeah, it's great watching hockey. I'm going to miss it when it's over. I'm already missing it, and they still got six games to go in the series.
Well, there's a game on Friday, and we will have a guest on Friday once he's done talking horse racing for longer
than Can I squeeze in a question?
You can squeeze in a tiny question.
Thank you.
By the way, 25 hours. You guys asked how long would the drive be to Edmonton?
Oh,
25
really
hours 20? From here.
Okay, but what about...
There's
what
no way.
We're talking to Chelly at 8:25. Mm-hmm. What if we just say, hey, Chris, have you talked to Wayne recently? Next thing you know, private jet.
Private jet. Paul Walker Airport. Let's go.
There we go.
There we go.
There we go.
I think Chelly could get it done.
Oh, Chelly could get it done. He'll get us on Gretzky Air.
If Brandon and I will sit at the 95th Aero Squadron restaurant and watch you guys take off and land. I used to love that place as a kid. I thought that was the coolest thing. You ever been in that place?
No.
No, I've been to
there's
Milwaukee.
A restaurant. There's a restaurant there, and it's like a barracks.
I took one private flight in my life out of Milwaukee, and I got to tell you, it nearly ruined me.
I was offered a couple opportunities to do stories flying out of there. Never took advantage. Now I regret it.
Yeah. No, I did it once, and I...
Not a good experience?
Phenomenal experience. We went to Lost Wages, Nevada. I broke out the old sharkskin suit, which Dustin knows about because I used to wear it only in Vegas. And I felt like such a winner that I couldn't lose. Everything I touched would turn to gold. I should have owned a hotel on that trip. But I cleared about $250.
Wow.
Because I was afraid to gamble.
It's a worthwhile trip.
It was unbelievable. How do you lose when you travel first class like that? How do you possibly
lose?
Two
unrelated things.
You feel like
two unrelated things.
No, no, no.
One is not connected to the other.
Oh, totally. You're totally, when you are a winner, you win. Big win for the kid.
Okay.
250.
Nice job, kid.
Chew on it.
Chew on it. Wow.
All right. We got to get to the picks.
Yeah, we do.
It's absurd. It's Mully and Haw at Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to score. I'll drop the gloves. Let's go. Honest to God, I'm getting in shape. I'm going to chop your ears off.
Attention sports enthusiasts. Keep the adrenaline pumping and elevate your game day with Chumba Casino. It's completely free to play. No purchase necessary. Whether you're cheering from the stands, on the move, or relaxing at home, Chumba Casino brings the thrill of social casino directly to your fingertips. Experience the ultimate social casino adventure with reels of casino-style games offering hundreds of exciting options to choose from and fresh new releases every week. There's always something new and thrilling to explore. From action-packed social slots and classic blackjack to engaging bingo and solitaire, the fun never stops. Plus, enjoy generous daily login bonuses and a fantastic free welcome bonus to kickstart your social gaming journey. Dive into the excitement. Discover a world where you can play for your chance to redeem some serious prizes and have a blast along the way. Don't miss out. What are you waiting for? Join now and immerse yourself in nonstop fun and adventure with Chumba Casino. Get in on the action today at ChumbaCasino.com and make every day a Chumba day. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus T&Cs apply.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
Did you believe Kyle Tucker was going to deliver a piece of magic when he came into the game in the bottom of the ninth with the Cubs down 2-0 and two Cubs on base? Was it worth it just to get him up in that situation? No big deal that he grounded out for a loss, just the third shutout on the year.
You know, I did think there was going to be a moment. I mean, it just felt like, oh my God, there's Tucker. Here he is. He's okay. He's ready to go. They've had, you know, that inning opens up, and you get first and third, and Kyle Tucker with a bat in his hands, and you're down two runs, and Michael Busch had played against a right-handed pitcher and had a nice hit after Dansby Swanson got a hit, and you're just sitting there kind of chuckling like, this can't happen again, can it? I thought Tucker had a pretty decent bat. He was fouling the ball off. Maybe his timing's a little off, but it was one of those. It's just one of those moments. Excuse me. It's one of those moments we've seen this year. You know, we've seen like a 10-run inning. You know, you've seen a couple of late 5-run innings. It felt like, wow, are they going to do it again? Can they do this again? And it was almost like a perfect setup for a moment like that. So, yeah, it definitely went through my head just because it's that year.
I agree. It definitely went through my mind. I was honestly surprised. Here's if again, I should be thrilled. The Cubs are in first place right now. They almost have, they're closing in on 40 wins, and we're not even into the second week in June. I should be really happy. But here's my point. If he was able to pinch hit, if he was available to pinch hit, how was he not available to DH? Right? I mean, if you're available to pinch hit, why wouldn't you be available to DH?
Are you asking? You want me to answer?
Yes.
Because if you're looking for times to rest Kyle Tucker and he is banged up, last night was an opportunity to do both against a left-hander. Why not pick that chance in that moment to give him rest and time to recover?
But then I guess my argument is if you're giving him rest and if he's going into that game thinking that he's having a day of rest, then is he mentally ready to pinch hit?
I think you're overstating the mental readiness part of it.
I want to know. I think maybe that's something we can ask Steve Stone. I'm saying if you're given a day off, my point is.
Have you watched Kyle Tucker this year? He could fall out of bed and get a double. This guy is a natural swinger.
You're proving my point then. Would you have rather had Justin Turner who can fall? Or he should have been in there instead of Justin Turner is my point.
Okay, I would counter that with this is the right time to rest Kyle Tucker with 26 games in 27 days, and you've already messaged that. You've already pretty much announced that. And it also makes sense in the course of a 162-game season that you are off to a great start in to rest him, and I don't think that one at bat in the ninth inning is going to send him to the plate not mentally prepared. This is a baseball player. This is a guy who is as natural. Heck, he is the natural. He's got a swing like Ted Williams.
What did you think in the moment?
In the moment, I thought that he was going to come through, yeah. And it was going to be another one. If not homer, I didn't think he was going to homer.
Right.
I thought that Kyle Tucker was going to tie this game up, or Kyle Tucker was going to get a hit and keep things going. I don't know that any one at bat when you make an out in any given circumstance reflects your state of mind. I don't think that he was, oh boy, I can't believe that you interrupted my crossword puzzle so I could go to the plate and try to save the game. I don't think it was like that.
So there's nothing to that.
My sense is I didn't have that reaction. No, I'm not. Again, I'm not.
I was surprised he was available. Mm-hmm. And then once he was available, I was like, why didn't he DH?
Well, I think that because he didn't DH, because you trust the other eight guys in your lineup that are putting together this kind of a season that allows you to enjoy it.
I think Justin Turner is a better option as a pinch hitter, and Kyle Tucker is a better option as a DH.
What does that mean, DFA? What does that mean? What are you saying?
DH. I never said DFA.
Oh.
And I would only correct you one more time. Justin Turner is never a better option at the plate than Kyle Tucker.
Didn't say that either.
He's a better option as a pinch hitter.
As a pinch hitter. That doesn't mean for anybody. But Justin Turner has actually produced as a eighth or ninth inning pinch hitter this year. That's
devil's advocate
point.
Before we move on, since we're going to exhaust this one to death, I think that you could argue that this was the ideal situation because Craig Counsell rested Kyle Tucker, and he still had him at the plate with a chance to go ahead in the ninth inning with one swing of the bat. But
didn't he say, they said that on the broadcast.
Perfection.
That he talked about some game where, you know, you get Kyle Tucker at bat with a chance to tie the game. That's a successful game.
Mm-hmm.
I understand the question.
Boy, Craig sounds as frustrated as you right now, David. How pleased were you to see Michael Busch make the lineup despite the Cubs facing a left-handed pitcher? How many of his at-bats did it make the pill of pleasure just, you know, wore off? Did you take solace in the fact that nobody hit much, not just the first baseman, and certainly not the Nationals for the first five and two-third innings versus very good last night, Matthew Boyd?
I'm not frustrated. I'm not exasperated. I am, and this is a fun day. This is a good day. This is fine. The Cubs lose. It's going to happen. How many bats did it take? The first. Michael Busch stepped to the plate, and I said, I wish he would have batted in the first inning rather than the second, because he was on deck when the Cubs went 1-2-3 after loading up the bases with nobody out. Next.
It's not a good day. There are so many things that were wrong about that game. So we've been banging the drum. I've been banging the drum for Michael Busch to get the opportunity to face a lefty. You know which lefty you shouldn't face the first time you face a lefty? That guy, who yeah. I've been warning us for 2 days, is a really good pitcher. And now we're going to all of a sudden, now we're going to let him face the lefty. And now his confidence probably is shaken. And the team's confidence in him is shaken. Again, explain to me why
this.
The catcher. What do you mean? What can't you do?
You can't they lost, complain David. About
There's
everything.
There's nothing good. There's nothing. The only well, thing oh, good about that loss was Matthew
this.
Boyd. That
you
was the only thing good
about
it.
Complain about everything. Why did they bat the guy seventh? I'm just
that's
following
not the, lefty,
the logic.
That's not the lefty to decide to all of a sudden get yourself on a heater against a lefty. That guy's really good.
The batting seventh thing, granted, it's a little bit nitpicky. But you can't complain bit. About the seventh and Kyle Tucker.
Matthew Boyd was the only thing good about last night. The only.
He was
excellent. Or the fact that the game was 2 hours and 11 minutes.
That was good, too.
I thought it was a really good baseball game, and I thought there were big moments in it, and I thought that the Cubs were going to win the game until the last at bat. So I don't feel like – listen, Mackenzie Gore was fantastic in that game. He did a really good job. But I didn't – I was hoping Michael Busch would do better than he did, but nobody was able to hit Mackenzie Gore, right? And frankly, nobody was able to hit Matthew Boyd until – he gave up a home run, and it turned out that was the game-winning hit. It was crazy how that broke down, but I thought it was good to see Bush try to play. I thought that he didn't lose anything because he did get a single in the ninth inning. I thought it was huge that he got a single in the ninth inning because it kept you in the game and kept the game moving, and it allowed you to get your best player at bat for a chance to win the game. So I felt really pleased that playing him, in my mind, was justified. That even if it was that he had to wait until the lefty was out of there to get his hit, he got a hit, and he's been really hot, and I don't see how you sit a guy down for any reason if he's been hitting the ball the way Michael Busch has been, and I did feel kind of justified that he'd continue to hit the ball he got a hit in the game. So I guess, you know, 1 of 4 isn't spectacular, but considering the first three were against left-handed pitching, I'm okay with it.
You know, that's a really good question.
What's your conclusion to seeing Tim Elko get the call up at first base instead of the guy who opened the season at that position, Andrew Vaughn? Has Elko moved ahead of Vaughn in the organization's heart? And do you fear or hope or merely conclude we won't be seeing that guy anytime soon?
Wow. There's so much there. And I mean, honestly, it is perhaps because Elko and Vaughn played the same position because they were demoted at the same time because it was Elko that was brought up and not Vaughn. So my conclusion, there's a lot of things that I conclude. I don't know if Elko has moved ahead of Vaughn or anything like that, but I think, you know, Lenin Sosa has been doing very well. He believe it or not, like we never talk about him, but I think he's leading him in hits. He's been really a pretty good offensive player, and he's out of options. So when he comes back from the injured list, you can send Tim Elko back down, and it'll just be a continuation of what's going on. I'm not saying that's what they're going to do. I'm saying that's a possibility. I think if you bring Vaughn up, then it's going to be hard to send him back down again. And that's kind of, in my opinion, why they chose to promote Elko instead of Vaughn. But it does give you the appearance that Elko, and we just heard from Kyle Teal, was it yesterday, saying what a great leader Elko is and how he's helped him because he's such a great presence in the clubhouse and all that stuff. So it makes you, I get it, Bruce told us, they do not view Tim Elko as a legitimate young player on the come. He's in a different category than a guy that's on the way to the major leagues. They just don't look at him that way. He's not a prospect in their mind. Well, I think he's a better prospect than Andrew Vaughn is, And I think because this is a short-term guaranteed trip, they chose Elko. I think if they brought Vaughn back, they only want to do that once, and maybe they don't want to do it.
I think this tells us that Tim Elko greater than Andrew Vaughn to the organization, to your point. And I mean, it's I think we talked about it the other day. I'm sure it's something we'll talk about with Steve Stone at 9 this morning. You got to find a couple of guys that, okay, they might strike out. They might go, you know, 1 for 5 or 1 for 4, but you're hoping the one
that can run into a home
that goes out of the park, right? And Tim Elko is one of those kind of guys.
Yes, and I think Andrew is all but going Vaughn. He's on his way soon. Whoever will take him. I do wonder about giving up on him prematurely. You always worry about that. He has not produced. Only because of this. I think a similar kind of things could have been said maybe about Gavin Sheets a year ago or maybe in the offseason. Gavin Sheets has 11 homers for the San Diego Padres. He's a good hitter on a very good team. I don't think that's going to happen to Andrew Vaughn in his next stop, but I think that that could give him hope as he moves on, and I think the Sox are telling him it's time to move on at some point in time. I don't know if he'll be a throw-in. I don't know if he'll be a DFA. It's hard to envision him being a first baseman in Chicago. Already you've got Tim Elko coming back. You mentioned Lenin Sosa, who's played there some. Miguel Vargas can play first base. Oh, was that Kyle Teal taking ground balls in Charlotte? I think there's a lot of people in front of Andrew Vaughn before he ever gets back to playing first base. So, yes, it was a statement. I hope Tim Elko stays. He had one hit last night. Hope tonight he hits a homer. Or today, I should say. 110 first pitch, right field.
Oh, I think any question, David, is a fair question.
There he is, Steve Stones with Mully and Haw at 9 this morning. MLB All-Star voting, it is underway. The Cubs have legitimate candidates at nearly every position, but maybe third base. How many Cubs do you think will actually make the team? And if you could only pick 3 position players to make the Midsummer Classic from the Cubs, who would those 3 gentlemen be?
Well, this is fun. And yes, we are enjoying this season. We just sound miserable at times, Texter, from the 331. It is a lot of fun to have a team that you have World Series standards for, and this is the Chicago Cubs this year. PCA is a gimme. Kyle Tucker, I think he's going to go. So those are the two guys I think number one you go. Yes, nod your head in agreement. Otherwise, other than that, I would say that this is going to sound probably unorthodox. I think Nico Horner. Given the other second baseman in the National League, if I had to pick just 3, it would be PCA, Kyle Tucker, and Horner. Now, I know Seiya Suzuki has every right to claim he's got a season that is outstanding, leading the majors, I think, or among the tops in runs batted in. But I think if they look at other hitters in the league, they might pick another guy instead of him, but he would be definitely a strong fourth candidate.
I'm with you on your list. I think Suzuki deserves it ahead. If you're only getting 3, I think Nico's just coming up a tad bit short. I want Nico Horner in there, but I think Nico will have the harder path than Suzuki. People just look at runs batted in and things like that, and Suzuki is right there up at the top, so you'd think that would help him get there. Also, PCA, I think, is a given. Tucker, probably, but the outfield's hard. Right, the outfield's hard because they still do it right. They don't do it by position, correct? It's 3. It's,
right.
You're not voting
right
for center fielders
fielder,
as an example.
Yeah.
You're voting for outfielders.
Yeah.
So I think that kind of does change things up a little bit. Anaya and Carson Kelly are not. Neither one of those guys are getting in. Even if they were both healthy, they're not getting in. I mean, I'd make an argument that Michael Busch. As long as there's no lefties on the American League roster,
batting 7th for the National League, Michael Busch.
You could make an argument for him, Dustin. It's an interesting thing. Did you see the numbers of? He's like 3rd among first basemen in the National League, or 2nd.
Yeah, he doesn't have a lot of slug,
right?
But
right.
Otherwise,
but if I was rating it, I would say PCA would be 1. Kyle Tucker would be 2, and I understand how tough it is for outfielders to get in, but look at their record, look at their season, look who is fueled it. Those two guys belong. I would probably go with Seiya Suzuki third, just because he's done so much and he's changed positions, and I feel like he's having as good a season as he's had. I feel like he could make it. And then I would go with Carson Kelly, as much as he's kind of gone off the boil in the last 2 weeks. You know, they've had like the best catching tandem in baseball for much of the year, certainly in the National League. And I feel like you could justify doing it, although he has kind of gone off the boil for 10 days, 2 weeks. You know, he'd need a resurgence of some kind in order to get there. But I would take those four guys ahead of Nico, and I'm not down on Nico. I just don't think you deserve, you know, I don't know. I think three or four seems like kind of the most.
Yeah, I think it makes sense.
You should get.
Don't get greedy.
That's all.
And that'll have to be a question I'm going to have to ask my mom.
What impression did Jaquan Brisker leave after discussing his concussion for the first time since it cost him the final 12 games of last season, his third in three seasons?
It was hard. You know, it was hard, you know, being away from football, especially week to week. You know, it was, you know, kind of, you know, getting sad and depressing, things like that. But, you know, got over it. You know, it's time to move on, and I'm back now.
Physically, how did you feel?
During.
When you were still in protocol. Did you feel normal? Did it feel like something was off?
Yeah, I'll say so. I felt like I was off, or I would have been able to be out there. So definitely felt like something was off. Didn't want to get back out there until I felt like me.
Your impressions of those comments from Jaquan Brisker?
Yeah, you know, it's a really difficult situation to talk about because it's his career and he gets to do what he wants to do. You know, it's a very complicated situation, and my feelings are complex. I do not feel great about it, okay? I feel like you're watching a guy that is kind of running through some red lights. And, you know, don't play in traffic, son. You're going to really get yourself hurt. I also feel like he has to be allowed to play the game the way he wants to play it and to do what he can do. I worry about the overall impact of a guy who's had a concussion three straight years and then describing, you know, he went to the hospital in Pittsburgh. That's the great concussion hospital from that movie, and the idea that he had to sort of rewire his brain in a way. He had to kind of change some things in his nervous system.
The way he described it, a vestibular concussion.
Holy mother of God. And then it's like, but I'm going to go. I'm going to play the same way. I'm going to. Yeah, I got to tell you, it kind of left me with a chill. And I worry that this is the wrong decision. And I don't think that anybody has the right to sort of say that to him. That's not a medical professional. And it's not our role to do so. But there was a part of me that felt like, you know, am I watching this? Is he saying, like, there was an incongruity to the whole thing that made me pause.
I liked a lot of what you just had to say there, Mully. Couple things, you know, we talked about him a lot and wondered aloud a lot, like, when is he coming back? We weren't getting many updates on his condition. Obviously, it was serious, and then after watching and reading comments yesterday, it was even, I believe, more serious than we knew. When you get into the nervous system, I'm all about, like, rub some dirt on it and get back out there kind of. But when you're talking about rewiring of your nervous system and relearning things and whatnot. But I also find it interesting, Brandon and I were just talking about this on the other side, the fact that they did not address this position in the draft, right? They didn't. So they must have felt confident in his coming back and his ability to play at that high position that he did. I mean, he brings it. I mean, there are no plays off for this guy. So it's going to be interesting to keep an eye on it, and I hope for his sake it all works out.
Jaquan Brisker has a vestibular concussion that is nothing to take lightly. And he, for Bears fans, is one of the easiest guys to root for because of the way he plays and how he likes to show enthusiasm on the field. He's an easy guy to support. But that was very uncomfortable to listen to. And it's very hard to accept that. And it's inconceivable almost that throughout this whole process, he did not discuss with his family or anybody close to him, according to what he said yesterday, retirement as an option or pulling back as an option. I don't think that he sounded like somebody who got the gravity of the situation, even though I know that's probably insensitive to say because we don't know him as well as others close to him know him. But this is not a pulled hamstring or a torn ACL. This is a brain injury. And this is his third such brain injury in three seasons. It cost him 12 games. For him to come back to the field is great for the Bears' defense. But what is best for Jaquan Brisker's life? I don't know if the answer is playing professional football. I certainly think that it's not playing the same way that he played before. He led with his head a lot. And you can't do that as a defensive back.
He said he's going to play the
same way. I heard him say that. And I felt very uneasy hearing him reemphasize that and never back off from that. You can't do that if you want to stay on the field and make a living as a professional football player. I think you're going to have to learn a way to stay on the field, stay out of harm's way, tackle in a way that adjusts your mechanics and your technique. It doesn't have to change your tenacity. You can be aggressive. You can be engaged. But I do feel like if he's insistent that he's not going to change his style of play, we're going to be listening to another press conference announcing that Jaquan Brisker is going to miss an extended period of time because of a concussion that will be his fourth season. I hope that's not the case. He's easy to pull for, but yesterday was a little bit uncomfortable.
That's a tough question.
All right, here's another Bears-related question. How much impact do you expect from DT Jervon Dexter, who feels better about his third season, even with the addition of Grady Jarrett and the return of Andrew Billings, means Dexter is unlikely to start?
Being more consistent, finishing. So, yeah, just staying consistent is the next step for me. It's time to put it together. That's what it means to me. I appreciate those guys helping me, you know what I mean, get to a point where I want to be. But, yeah, it's time to put it together now.
All right, your reaction to what you just heard there from the defensive tackle out of Florida, Jervon Dexter.
He's right. He looks good. He's added weight. He's added bulk and muscle. That's ideal. He's also invited his friends to Bears and to work out. You don't see that from a guy on the same defensive line as Montez Sweat and Grady Jarrett, and he's the guy, the ringleader of this group. Andrew Billings is also there. All those guys also being there means that Jervon Dexter is probably going to be a depth piece, not starting games perhaps. Great. Keep him fresh. Bring them in waves. You never have enough defensive linemen. Jervon Dexter looks like he's ready to have the kind of season a lot of people thought he was ready to have last year. He started fast, finished slow, but I don't know that he can be written off. He looks like he's committed to making an impact this season.
Yeah, looked the part, talked the part. Like you said, it's a rotational type of thing. You want to keep bringing them in waves. Liked everything he had to say. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, this is one of Coach Wanstead's kind of favorite guys and is expecting big things from him. And I think kind of that third year, he's going to kind of finally make it all click.
Well, that's it, Dustin. It's the third year. You know, he's at a position where that's when you really blossom. That is, if he's going to be what he believes he can be, this is the year to do it. And it doesn't matter who's around him, and it doesn't matter how good the players ahead of him are. He still should show. He should flash multiple times, and he's got to do it on a game-by-game basis. He looks the part. He's doing the right things, inviting people down, leading the kind of the off-season workout program. That is a great thing to see. Now he's got to get it done on the field. And he's shown signs of being able to do that. And he is exactly in the position you want him to be. He's just got to take the next step. And if he does that, then they got a really good player and they got something special going on with their defense and with their defensive line in particular. But it is incumbent upon him to make the impact that he's got to make in this, his third season. No doubt about it.
Very great athlete. He looks like he's in shape. And
yes, he looks ready to go.
Like the season
he looks
could
like
start
a different
next
guy.
Week.
Yeah. All right. The extra point is next. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of casino-style games like bingo, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. T&Cs apply.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Extra point.
It's time for the extra point with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
I wouldn't say a fresh start. I would just say some of the guys come out with the same mentality. We add some pieces in, add some dogs, and you know, it's time to hunt now.
He said that he hasn't really talked to you about the Hail Mary play last year. Has Al Harris or any of the new coaches been like, so what happened?
There's really no conversation need to be had. I owned it. It was a mistake. I just happened to play a sport where my mistake is just national televised, and I feel like talking to me and going through the meetings, they can see that I already owned it up to it. And, you know, I owe the guys from last year nothing but effort and myself, and they see that I'm putting it in. So there's really no conversation need to be had.
That's Tyreek Stevenson yesterday at Hallis Hall. Do you view the new coaching staff and change of administration a reclamation opportunity for Tyreek Stevenson? Can he really put the failed Mary behind him and get back to his career? Or is that the kind of play that ruined a season that will follow a gut? Huh? What are your expectations from him this season?
He approached it the only way he can. You cannot let one play define your career. It already defined the Bears' season. They let that happen after his unforgivable error in judgment in the Fail Mary game against the Commanders. It'll be talked about a lot. It should be put in the past. He's got a new opportunity. He is a reclamation project. This is his career. The Bears can benefit from that because he's got something to prove. Al Harris's arrival comes at a good time for Tyrique Stevenson because Al Harris is the guy that he visited with the Cowboys during his pre-draft visits at the University of Miami. They had a good rapport, and he skipped the rest of his visit in the tour of the facility, as he was saying yesterday, to spend more time with Al Harris. That's good because his chemistry with the previous coaching staff, especially in the secondary, wasn't good. And there wasn't a good connection there. So Tyrique Stevenson starts fresh in Dennis Allen's defense, which asks cornerbacks to play aggressively, more man coverage, and probably plays to his strengths more than we think. So I liked what I heard from him, but with Tyrique Stevenson, it won't be the words. Enough talking already. We love that he talks, but he's going to have to prove it and to sway people with his actions. He's going to have to play lockdown defense. He's going to be the guy getting a lot of attention because of Jalen Johnson will be the guy they avoid. Quarterbacks will not want to throw at number one. By the way, where was number one at practice yesterday? Excused absence. Excused absence, right?
Just as long as I didn't bring it up because, you know, geez. So he supposedly couldn't make the...
Yeah, what was that sentence?
So remember the question about Tyrique Stevenson.
Okay, I'm also going to call a bit of... So nobody on this... If nobody on this new staff, including the new head ball coach, has talked to him directly about this, I think that's a mistake. I think that's a mistake. So I'm not going to believe that no conversation was needed. He might think no conversation is needed, but I think there was a conversation needed, and I would be shocked if no conversation was had. Maybe not directly, but I would be shocked if the failed Mary, Hail Mary, whichever way you look at it, that wasn't addressed at some team meeting about how you got to move on. You guys didn't move on. We've got to flush that. That thing cannot linger anymore. That thing is now gone because that thing definitely ruined their season. That play ruined. They could not get over that play. They couldn't. They talked about it. We asked them to talk about it. They couldn't get over it. It stuck around. It lingered. I hope it works out. I mean, I want the Bears to be good.
Yeah, you know, I that play, that wasn't a small mistake that only happened because you're on a publicly televised sport. That was like a lot worse. That was a really horrible, I'll call it an incident. I mean, it just wasn't a simple mistake. You just lost your mind and you had this terrible thing that went on and you did the wrong thing and the guy you were we can go over it 1,000 times and we have, but that was a big deal and that follows you. That does, you know, that ruined careers. You know, there are people that are unemployed as a result of that, and I don't know that this is a reclamation opportunity. I think every coach on that staff, whether they say something to him or not, knows exactly what went on with that play. Everybody on the team, every player that was here a year ago, even guys that weren't, knows exactly what happened on that play. And I think that the player himself knows what went wrong and what happened. I don't think it has to end his career. But, you know, you get a couple of mistakes like that, pal, and you got no hope at all.
I can't believe that Al Harris, as accountable as he holds players,
yes,
and as comfortable as he is with Tyrique Stevenson, has not talked about that. And I think has not taught him or shared with him ways to process, ways to never forget and never let that happen again, and ways to move on in ways that he has to.
And the reality is, whether he wants to accept it or not, it is not over. He did not apologize and react well to it. He got punished, and he walked off the field as a result of that punishment. I mean, listen, he's one mistake away, if you're being brutally honest about it. And that's not just a mistake. I'm saying if you do something like that again, you can't play.
But also, it's time to move on.
I totally agree it's time to move on. I totally agree. But just so we all understand – You are on double secret probation, and it's never going to be forgotten.
Not so secret.
So, yeah, yeah.
It's so, publicly televised.
There you go. But that's all you can do is what he did yesterday and say you're moving on and all the rest of it. But I'm just saying. I'm not saying. I'm only saying that everybody knows every little detail of all of it. And, you know, here's hoping. I really want to see the kid do well. I hope that they found a coach that can really impact him. And I think he's needed in this defense. And I think he can do some things in this defense. But we're going to have to see it unfold. It's as simple as that. All right, 312-644-6767. It's Mullion Hall on the Score.
Now the 1-1. Warner hits a little pop fly foul over toward the stands, and this is caught by Lowe, and the Cubs do not score. They had the bases loaded with the 4, 5, and 6 hitters coming up, and nobody could come through.
Mullion Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. You never know when the big moment in the game is going to rise up. And for the Cubs, it was, believe it or not, the
first inning.
Yep.
Three batters
load
in.
The bases on the first three at-bats.
As a Cub fan watching and realizing how
good the offense is. You thought no big deal. You thought it'd be fine, right?
You thought, here we go again. All right, they're going to score eight. They're going to hang eight. This is looking easy. Mackenzie Gore, big deal. They get the first three guys on, and then the next three guys go down. And Michael Bush is on the on-deck circle, batting seventh and unable to help in the first inning, but that's another story. And then you think, oh, they'll score at one point. But Mackenzie Gore, how did he – you end the night thinking, how did he lose five times?
He was really good.
He was really good.
Yeah, no. I mean, and that's called baseball. You have these games where you run into a guy who's just an excellent pitcher, and there's little you can do about it. Now, they had their opportunity. It was early in the game, and they could not press advantage. They couldn't take care of that issue immediately. And, you know, it is not unusual. Even if you get out of there with a run, you'd have felt shortchanged
Yes. And
cheated a little bit. But, boy, a run would have helped.
Also, do you think the Nationals are going to contend in that division? No.
I don't.
Do you think they'll be competitive in that division? No. So I find myself wondering what their approach might be at the trade deadline, especially when you see Kyle Finnegan come in and get his, wait for it, 17th save.
Yeah.
He's got 17 saves. They've won 29 games.
Thought the same thing.
Okay.
I was watching that guy. Boy, he'd look good at the end.
He would look good in the ninth inning.
He'd look real good.
In a Cub uniform in July or August or September or Craigtober. I think that's the thing that comes to mind when you see a guy with a 17th save.
Well, the Cubs have delivered that to their fans. They have given you that
license
as a gift. No question about
Thank
it.
Thank you.
Because they know they're going to be a part of it. They are a part of it. They've done well enough and are doing well enough that you feel like they're going to be there at the end of it. Now, you know, you got to take care of business today because you got to win that series.
You do.
This is the problem because next thing you know, you're going against the Cy Young winner and you're going to be facing a team that maybe you're supposed to meet at the end of the season. And then, oh, by the way, I do think Philadelphia is going to be a part of this thing at some point. So as much as this has been easy, you're starting whatever it is, 26 games in 27 days. And it's going to get a little bit tougher. So you got to make sure you take care of business today just so you set yourself up with another series win for another couple more difficult series.
Last quick thought. The Reds and Andy Abbott, they got you. Mackenzie Gore and the Nationals, they got you. You're going to face Tarik Skubal on Friday night. He may get you. And people are going to feel uneasy about how the Cubs do against great pitching. It's a valid concern until they prove otherwise. This offense is great, but you've got to beat the best as well.
Just needed that hit from Kyle Tucker, and you'd be laughing.
Yeah, one hit. King Tuck, hey, he's human, and he's hurt.
Human. All right, 312-644-6767. We're going to get to your phone calls next. It's Mullion Hall on the Score.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.